George Capanelli here. Welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen. She doesn't want to stop. Great voice. Learn, participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with some great music.
Today our topic is staying awake. We're going to look at some of the things that put us to sleep and some of the things that we can do to stay awake and in the present moment so that we can master the lessons we've come here to learn and the dreams we've come here to manifest. You'll join Sadina and me for the second part of a really insightful interview with Joan Borisenko, best-selling author and expert on spirituality and health.
And as always, we have great music interludes. Today with Lorena McKennitt, Greensleeves, Al Green, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, and Van Morrison, get on with the show. Our special features today, George will bring us another life achievement tribute. Now we're going to do Sadina today.
No, yep, Sadina today. Is,
okay,
yep.
Sadina. So yep. The life achievement will be on the pause button for a little bit. We also will bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding news segment, and George will close with another one of his provocative and practical commentaries, this one on staying awake.
So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. Most of us abdicate the management of our dying and delegate it to doctors, scientists, gerontologists, and others. We put our faith in the intensive care unit presided over by the priest doctor who prolongs our lives as long as possible through medical technology. In this way, we surrender the right to die our own deaths. When, despite all medical interventions, we succumb to death, we usually sleep through the event, drugged, sedated, and unconscious of this great transformative moment. This from Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi. In one of our earlier books, Sadina and I, the title is called Authenticity, and we suggested that our culture has, in our opinion, become the aspirin culture. And indeed, from our perspective, this trend toward dulling our senses and dimming our lights that Rabbi Zalman talks about continues. Of course, in some ways, it's an understandable trend. We live in complex and challenging times, and many of us, especially those of us who are dealing with the challenges of aging, are often overwhelmed by some of the challenges and complexities. As a result of the first sign of physical, emotional, intellectual, or spiritual discomfort, we look for something to dull down our feelings or satiate our senses. And we certainly have plenty of help and encouragement in following this trend towards self-medication, don't we, Alan?
Well, you know, I love the title, Staying Awake. I've been using this awake metaphor, and, you know, people sometimes say, what do you mean awake? I'm awake.
Uh-huh.
But I think we're talking about something very deeper here. You know, it's being conscious and aware at a very high level. And we don't get support in that. Our media, many of our institutions, companies, organizations advance and promote an almost unlimited number of beliefs, images, products, services that overload our senses, numb our feelings, and dumb down our intellects. In fact, while heart disease, cancer, diabetes, AIDS, and new forms of pandemics may rank as the leading cause of physical death on this planet, we believe that our primary growing addiction to the many forms of self-medication is rapidly becoming the primary cause of spiritual death because it's a program that you're limited in.
Yeah, so we say spiritual death because as a result of many of the practices that now permeate our culture, many of us are not only turning down and away from our feelings, we're also turning down and away from the wisdom that issues from that still small voice within. In doing this, we miss many of the hints and clues that life is constantly giving us about choices we can make and things we can do to inherit more of the light of our consciousness. In short, when we turn down our feelings, we also turn down our passion, dim the light of our intellect, depress our energies, and in the process prevent ourselves from achieving the very thing we came to this earth to accomplish, mastering the lessons of this lifetime. In this way, and only in this way, will we be able to take our next steps on the road to what Carl Jung called individuation, and others have called wholeness and enlightenment.
Interesting. Individuation and wholeness, you think they are almost opposite, but they're not. You know, they're not.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about before, many of us are out of touch with our feelings. In many ways, this is a crime we commit against ourselves because our feelings are one of the best allies that we have. They're also one of the essential ways life communicates to us. Feeling out of sorts, feeling anxious, awkward, afraid, confused. These are just some of the ways that life lets us know when there is something out of balance or something we would be wise to learn or to experience from the feelings. And unfortunately, when we self-medicate and turn away from those so-called negative feelings, we are also turning down and away from other feelings as well, and even feelings we can call positive and joyful. And this is one of the things I learned early on, George. I mean, you know, because I was not a feeling being. I was a mental being, particularly the way I was trained. And the underlying belief that motivates this avoidance appears to be that if we dull our feelings, we will not have to deal with them. We seem to apply the same reasoning when we self-medicate to avoid the physical discomforts that arises from our injuries, head, body aches, and especially awkward transitional states.
We do this dulling by taking a plethora of non-prescription dulling agents. We also pump ourselves up with caffeine and energy drinks, dull ourselves down with liquor, preoccupy ourselves with thought and overwork. We fill ourselves up with food, wear ourselves out with exercise, try to preoccupy ourselves with sex, or lull ourselves into a stupor with television, video games, and endless hours on the internet. And when all else fails, we seek out the brave new world of wacky prescription drugs, many of which have side effects far more harmful than the conditions they're designed to remedy. This growing inclination to self-medicate or doctor-medicate to ease our discomfort and help us avoid life's ambiguities robs us of our will, courage, and ultimately our ability to stay awake.
As if this were not already enough to cause all of our serious concerns, this growing tendency to somehow normalize and sanitize existence denies us the ability to pay enough attention to life to be able to change some of the things that would eliminate not just the symptoms of our distress, but some of the causes. In dulling and dimming down, we also lose touch with our feelings, which are, as we mentioned earlier, our best allies. They are also the warning buzzers and red lights on the dashboard of life. Feelings let us know when something is out of alignment and needs our attention. They are also the signals that let us know if we are moving in the right direction.
So finally, the practice of self-medicating prevents us from turning toward rather than away from the only place in which we can do something to truly address the underlying conditions of which these feelings are but effects. In short, self-medication in all forms keeps us from being present.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
We're back, and we're going to continue with the conversation that George and Sedina Capinelli had with Joan Borisenko. We pick up with part two here.
And just in, kind of in the tail end of an amazing story of your childhood, and I'd like to know, I think our listeners would all like to know, and you can continue that thread, how did that experience determine your path then to Bryn Mawr and to Harvard and your doctorate and then, you know, the shift, the career track of medical sciences and so forth and cell biology? How did that transit?
You know, the experience, just like a dream that you have, if you reflect on it, means different things to you at different phases of your life as you mature and as different things are happening. So this recovery from mental illness was the same way with me. And the very first thing it inspired right there in the fifth grade was an interest in brain science. Because I thought to myself, something must be going on with the brain. And how could my brain be working just fine one day and be completely out in left field at another time? A second thing that occurred to me right at that time, but deepened, all of these things deepened with time, was what was that spiritual experience? Because, you know, I was sent to religious school, kind of Hebrew school twice a week, but mostly we learned prayers by rote and we learned history. Nobody talked to us about mystical experiences that I had no context. So I began to explore in whatever ways you can before the internet and when you're 10. Whatever books were in the school library, I walked over to the Unitarian Church. My mother was not pleased when the literature arrived in the mailbox. But, so I began to explore because I thought some other people have had this experience. And also, here's the thing. While that experience cured, really cured the mental illness, it took 3 days for the whole thing to go away.
Wow.
I still had, you know, all the other experiences of life. You know, adolescence, feeling, oh, how will anybody ever love me? All of the things that make us anxious, give us tension in life, help us grow, I still had those. And
right.
I thought, I'd like to be able to get back to that state where it was all peaceful and where the deeper meaning of things could come through. So that was very important.
Right.
And the third part was, I think, shared by most kids who are sick, and that is if you've had an illness and you recover, you want to help other kids and other people
right.
who have a
yes.
similar illness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I figured, well, maybe I'll grow up to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist.
Wonderful.
And so here I am, 58 years later, still exploring mysticism, psychology, brain science.
and doing a heck of a good job,
fantastic.
I might add.
Fantastic.
You know?
We're so glad this happened, actually.
Thank you, guys.
You took another turn. And you say in a number of your books that you moved from focus on the disease to focus on the individual. And that happened after you had become an overachiever at Harvard with three postdocs. And
yes. Well, it did. Actually, it happened after my first postdoc, which was in cancer cell biology. And I took my first job teaching at a medical school, which was at Tufts Medical School in Boston. And what happened was that I was just in my 20s. I had the very good fortune of having a very big laboratory, very well funded by the National Institutes of Health, the National Cancer Institute, And I really loved doing the research. But one day I walked into the home of my parents and I saw a slip of paper on the counter. And it was a blood test for my father. And I saw that his white blood cell count was a sky high. And so I looked at him and I said, what's going on here? What did the doctor tell you? And my mother said, oh, they thought maybe he had some infection or something. And I thought, there's more to this. And it turned out that he had a kind of leukemia. And the leukemia got worse. He was put on a drug to control the number of leukemic cells. And it had a terrible side effect. And that is that it made him manic. He developed what they call a manic psychosis. And he was the sweetest, most present, kindest guy. And all of a sudden, pressure of ideas, pressure of speech, you couldn't talk to him. And this went on for a year till they had to take him off the drug to do a medical procedure to remove his spleen. And he came instantly back into his right mind. It was probably the most moving experience of my life. I think of it as like a loved one lost at sea, and a year later they come floating back on a life. And the joy of this was short-lived, because apparently he must have figured life was not worth living that way, and worse things were soon in store, and he would go back on the drug that was driving him and the family crazy. And he waited one night until my mother went to bed, and they'd moved down to Florida to a high-rise condo, and he opened the window and he jumped out.
Oh, and John. I'm so sorry.
That, excuse me, thank you. That's why, by the way, that whenever I'm speaking about mind-body medicine and I'm speaking to cancer patients, I always think of him, and I offer a prayer of gratitude, because, you know, we're all part of this surprising, amazing, mysterious tapestry, where even difficult things often have an outgrowth, a positive outgrowth you never could have expected, you know? So,
absolutely.
At that moment, I just thought, Sedina, geez, I am like one of these incredible reductionists. My research on, you know, the fatty acid composition of tissue culture medium and how it affects cancer cells. Actually, it's very interesting nutritionally.
I'm sure.
But I thought, I know everything about at that time, the molecular biology, and I know absolutely nothing about human beings with cancer, right, how they cope, what to do, how their families are affected by this. And I thought, that's what I have to do. Whatever it takes, I'm going to work with people instead of cells and tissue culture.
Absolutely. And you also worked with AIDS patients. So I know.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. So that's another whole piece that I'm sure.
That's another whole part
brought
of the story.
You to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Joan, I know that our listeners are grateful to you for, your willingness to share your vulnerability and
absolutely
your heart as well as your information. So thanks for covering what I know is still tender ground and will always be inside all
not
of our consciousness.
Yeah.
You know? You know, what we're going to move into next is we'll talk a little bit about some of your books and how they are stepping stones to this remarkable 68-year-old woman who's with us today. And, in the next segment, what we'll do is we'll toss out a few titles. And if you would just give us a sentence or two about the central core of the message in these books, and we'll get up to date where we are today. And I know our listeners would be grateful. We're talking today with Joan Borsenko, author, wise woman, and big heart. Huh?
Yes.
We'll be right back.
And we're very grateful.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
George Capanelli and Alan Huttner back. Just a few comments on that section of the interview with Joan Borsenko. I know many of you want to hear the whole thing, and again, Alan and I keep promising, and we haven't yet, to put these interviews together into a collection, and we'll be doing it soon, and you'll have that opportunity. In the meantime, I just want to say that Joan is just such an extraordinarily open and loving being, and I found that that portion of the interview where she talked about her dad and the side effects of the drugs, and we were, you know, we opened with the idea of staying awake, and that we do so much of this self-medicating or doctor-medicating, and sometimes the impacts are so much greater than the disease that they're meant to cure, you know.
Well, you know, what comes up, of course, you know, her... We're talking about feelings and staying awake, and here she is in the middle of supposedly a doctor doing an interview, and she just has that emotional breakdown, and it's all okay and perfect, you know? And I think coming out of the pharmaceutical industry, as I have after 12 years, I'm not saying there aren't some drugs that are really important, but as it relates to psycho-emotional stuff, I hear more side effects about people kind of going crazy, and there's high suicide rates. There's a lot of problems that we haven't ironed out, and I think it's because people don't get to those feelings, and all of a sudden their whole psyche consciousness is altered by a pharmaceutical product, and this is, I think, what she was bringing up as a doctor that she discovered coming out of Harvard and doing her clinical work.
Well, and I think that the discovery that she made is so fundamentally important. If more doctors, both on the allopathic and naturopathic side, if they stopped looking at the isolation of the disease or the illness and really, really identified with the patient on a whole different level, the whole practice of medicine would be humanized. And we wouldn't be at the mercy of doctor priests, as Zalman says, but we'd be at fellow human beings who are helping us get to the next stage. You know?
Well, you know, to some degree, it used to be that way. I mean, you had a general practitioner, a personal physician. They'd even make house calls way back. And we've become so industrialized and, you know, multinational corporatized corporatocracies And there's no feelings in a corporation. I'm sorry. That's the way they were chartered. And in fact, they were supposed to have a limited amount of time, but they don't anymore. You know, that they now last in perpetuity.
Yeah, so a lot of changes we need to make to be awake in our world, and we thank Joan for showing us just one side of that change that needs to happen. Now it's time for You've Got to Be Kidding. Alan and I each week look at some items in the news that show how wacky our world is. Today we're going to focus on two topics. The first one, real quick. Goldman Sachs and other Wall Street banks, they're at it again. They're ready to blow up our economy with new ways to fleece us and put everything at risk. Last year, Goldman Sachs created a scheme that drove up the price of aluminum, costing American consumers billions. Yes, billions. What is an investment firm in the commodities market for? Federal Reserve is finally soliciting public comments about whether they should close this loophole. So if you care about America, Federal Reserve. 202-974-7008. Do it again. 202-974-7008. Call them. Tell them you want it closed.
All right. Really, I didn't know that about aluminum. Well, there are also four ways to evolve beyond capitalism, which ties into what George just read about. Carl Gibson, Reader Supported News, says that he believes that all of the economic problems we currently face are natural results of capitalism. I think you and I agree with this. Mm-hmm. From rising poverty in the midst of record high corporate profits, polluted air and dwindling water, private prison systems that rely on mass incarceration, students going deep into debt while the government books student loan profits, foreclosures, stagnant wages, all of these economic problems can be addressed once we acknowledge our seriously flawed economic system and vow to fix it. Now that we have a serious conversation about capitalism, we can also have a conversation about solutions, along with calling out flaws of capitalism. He says he's proposing four solutions, this is Carl, that would fix the most glaring problems in capitalism and blaze a new path forward for the next generation.
So his first fix is break corporate monopolies and free trade agreements. Nothing wrong with starting a business to make and sell goods that people want to buy. But the problem begins, as you said before, when large corporate giants force small businesses to shutter their operation. And that really is only the beginning. Not only does it end competition in as we know it, but it also imposes this rigid corporatocracy that is inflexible in the modern world.
Yeah. I agree. And you know, that goes along with guaranteeing full employment for those that are not necessarily entrepreneurs in their own business. While defenders of capitalism oppose almost any regulation of business, such regulations were largely responsible for the long period of economic prosperity that followed World War II. During FDR's administration, there was full employment in the U.S., and everyone had an income. Increased public investment meant Americans all had jobs that provided them with steady income as a result of direct government involvement in the economy. FDR inadvertently created the middle class, just as a decade after the Great Depression, it was robbed from most Americans, you know, losing jobs, homes, savings. And, you know, here we are again facing the same kind of possibilities.
Yeah, you know, this whole argument between the Chicago School and Keynesian economics, the difference between a fiscal responsibility but investment versus this draconian cuts, it's crazy.
Well, you know, it takes me back to my own college education, which I think was pretty decent, and my economics 101 said there were three components to productivity. One was labor and human energy, whether it's technological or manufacturing. The other was natural resources, and the third was capital. Yeah. Capitalism comes from capital, but we're valuing capital way above the other two things. That's the problem.
And what also happens, according to Gibson at least, is that unless we wage war on climate change, poverty, inequality, and greed, you know, FDR and Eisenhower put economic controls in place that were a result of the war. FDR wanted to create national solidarity around the war effort, and Eisenhower wanted the interstate highway system to be built to better move troops and supplies. So by investing in infrastructure, they changed the whole economic structure of America and continued to build on the energy that came out of the war to create whole new areas. But now, as a result, we've got climate change, poverty, war on inequality, and certainly a war on greed needs to be conducted.
Also, I never thought I'd cheer a tractor trailer. But, you know, we're coming up from Albuquerque back to Santa Fe, Elizabeth and I, and we're on the interstate, and there is these, you know, flag vehicles. You got to go slower. This tractor trailer was like so long. It had the largest half a propeller on it that I've ever seen, but it was a piece of wind turbine that was like about 100 feet long.
Wow.
I said, all right, there's something that's creating infrastructure.
And there's also, according to Gibson and a lot of people, it's time that we move beyond the two-party system and begin to look for parties that cause and promote new levels of engagement to meet human needs.
That's a no-brainer. We need more.
Age Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life.
Age Nation Radio.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth and at least that much of our faculties. AgeNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. AgeNation.com, for the generations who changed the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com, it's free. Sign up today.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli and Sadina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Reclaim your passion. Age Nation Radio.
George and Alan back, and here is Sedina's valuable, enlivened aging strategy.
Hi, I'm Sedina, here to share with you some simple yet powerful enlivened aging strategies. These will support you in creating greater clarity, balance, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's enlivened aging strategy is intention. Intention is the most critical ingredient in creating the life we want. In every moment, we are either opening or closing to the best in our lives. We make this intention either consciously or unconsciously to either participate in life in its fullest or not. We have to be attentive to the subtle ways our intention takes form. If we want to stay well, we have to actively resist the suggestion that something is going to make us sick. And it is not easy to talk about illness or lack without believing that we may have to deal with them. We all have experienced the way money seems to disappear if we continually talk about lack and hardship, and we know what happens when someone tells us we don't look well. Immediately, we begin to question how we feel and wonder if we should be lying down. As the Cherokee writer Joyce Sequeechi Hilfer tells us, too much sympathy and self-pity destroys our immunity to difficulty. It doesn't mean that life will not present challenges. It's just that in order to stand tall and be strong when really difficult things happen, we need to learn daily to drop insufficiencies and choose to ignore the negatives, to cancel the negative suggestions and claim what we want. We must begin to talk health and success and talk about excellent opportunities. This opens the way to wellness and prosperity. Intention is not about having a strong will to accomplish something. It's rather a force in the universe, a powerful tool of creation that every living thing is connected to. We each have this power, and we are creating every moment of our lives, whether positive or negative. Words can be very powerful to help us intend the best in our lives. We can choose empowering words to replace those words that create resistance and lack. Now, your life is the result of your intentions. If you declare the best for yourself and others and intend to live life with a yes attitude, you will attract the positive. We attract what we think about, so stop thinking about what you don't want and what you dislike. Think of the good in the present moment. Think only of what you want and then ordain that in your life. Choose openness to each moment. Choose acceptance of your goodness. Choose health and intend this expansion with every thought and action, and vision your highest dreams. In doing this, you are aligning with higher energy attractor patterns that are everywhere in nature and will attract to you what you intend. So you are as limited as you believe, and we can only be what we give ourselves power to be. Tell yourself today, I am unlimited. And remember to include the power of intention in your enlivened aging strategy, Aging Consciously Backpack. For more enlivened aging strategies, go to enlivenedaging, AGEING.com. And many blessings.
All right. We are back here. And as we mentioned earlier, our theme is staying awake. And George has another one of his provocative commentaries on the subject today.
So here's my contention. Staying awake is our responsibility, and aging is definitely not a time for dulling. I'm also going to say that the reason we're spending this time talking about all of this is that if we fall victim to the aspirin culture, we violate, or maybe we perpetuate, the old Chinese proverb that says it's easy for an act to become a habit and a habit to become a destiny. And the destiny we create through self-medication is definitely not the one most of us want to create. For a self-medicated being is not capable of living in the present moment and living consciously and aging wisely. So we invite you, at the next sign of discomfort, to experiment with turning toward the flashing red light that Alan mentioned on the dashboard of your life, and toward the discomfort, away from the drugs, the coffee, the food, the sex, the work, the alcohol, the entertainment, the exercise, or whatever you're over-medicating with.
Yeah, and that's a key word, George, over.
Yes.
We're not making those things wrong.
No, we're not at all. They're really incredibly and valuable.
As the Buddha taught, everything in balance.
Yeah.
To give him a little credit.
Yeah, so a friend, Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, recently shared with his congregation the fact that when signs of discomfort and imbalance occur, sit your butt down, S-Y-B-D, and meditate. Get back in balance and get back in touch with who you are. We also invite you to experiment with a number of alternative behaviors, because it's simply not possible to lead the life that you were born to live if you're numb and dull. And numb and dull are certainly not what we need, particularly in the second half of life. Instead, what we need is to be wide awake, to be up on the balls of our feet and looking at life in the eye. So we encourage you to stop self-medicating, because those of us who are aging need to have our faculties firing on all cylinders, especially if we want to explore the inner dimensions of consciousness. To do this, we have to learn to live with and ultimately befriend uncomfortable emotions, unpleasant thoughts, confusing choices, awkward and unfamiliar states, ambiguity, and a whole lot more. Yes, as strange as it may sound, our salvation lies not in avoiding or trying to suppress these things, not in trying to normalize and sanitize life, but instead in having the courage and willingness to explore the mystery that is natural, unadulterated, and undulled life. So experiment with using things that open you up instead of dulling you down. In fact, we invite you to do all that you can to stay wide awake, And none of this is meant to imply that there are not times when taking some forms of relief or a muting agent for physical or emotional pain is not necessary. Clearly, there are some times. But do it with discretion. So please start saying enough to dimming your lights. Start saying enough to nodding off in padded chairs in soundproof rooms of denial. Instead, start saying an enthusiastic yes to being wide awake and ready. Trust me, you will never, never regret it, because the life that you stay awake to is the life that you were born to live.
Well said. Just briefly, what comes up is an acronym of fear, false evidence of being real.
Yeah.
And fear and pain are related to each other. Just go into it, you know.
Yep.
Big deal. It'll stop, you know.
Yep.
Well, next week we're going to go more deeply into the first part of a conversation on spirituality and Barbara Marx Hubbard's, I don't even know how
evolving
to describe
consciousness,
her.
Yeah.
Evolving consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, she ran for vice president in
yes.
the 80s.
Yeah.
A wonderful woman, and we'll enjoy that. Of course, you'll hear more great music. Sedina will be back with another terrific enlivened aging strategy. Gotta be kidding. Peace will be part of the show, and I will close with another Rudy rap.
Don't forget to visit Age Nation. A lot of stuff. Good information. Subscribe to Next, our digital magazine. Pick up a copy of our new book. Sedina's my book, Do Not Go Quietly. You won't regret it. It's really a good one. 4 National Book Awards. And if you really like spending time and learning from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time, visit NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Some great surprises and some new announcements soon. Take this journey. You'll never, never regret it.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marx Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at NavigatingYourFuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 Book Awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.